If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was pregnant at the time of shooting that episode.
I love that. So I did not know that. Yeah, no, I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's really special.
So I was like nauseous. I know this is taking away from the sexy allure for the
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl. I am so happy you are here for the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast to take a trip down memory lane with me, the amazing cast, and some very special guests. I'm so glad to finally be able to say the family is back together again. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. We hope you are enjoying this as much as we are. I'm going to introduce my co-host for today. My co-host today is so beautiful that, frankly, I used to stare at her face when she wasn't looking. Her presence on the show had a ripple effect that you could feel even in episodes that she wasn't in. Please welcome the woman I called mom for 6 seasons, Inga Cadronell.
Yay!
Hi!
Hi, Inga.
Hi, Anna. So good to see you.
It's so good to see you. I love that we both have the same headphones and same... See, this is our connection.
It's the family.
The family. It is so good to see you. And thank you so much for doing this for me and for the fans of Lost Girl. Doing this podcast is kind of a love letter to them. So it's a really great trip down memory lane for everybody. And we've been having a lot of fun.
I'm so excited.
We are going to talk about season one, episode 10, which in Canada, I know the title of the episode was originally called Saskia, which makes sense. I think I looked it up on IMDb and it's called different things in different parts of the world. But for our purposes, it was titled Saskia. It was written by Michelle Lavretta and directed by Paul Fox. And my first question for you and for both of us is, how did you feel watching this episode? And what were your first impressions watching it?
Oh my goodness. It was so cool to go back and watch this episode. Like, I don't actually think I've watched my work that I've done that long ago ever. So there's like a few things that stood out. I was like, wow, I feel like I'm so happy the overplucked eyebrows are gone.
Oh God, tell me about it. Tell me about it. What was that? I know. I had the same thing.
And I was like someone who grew up with really bushy eyebrows, so I always hated them. So I like really overplucked them, but I was like, oh my gosh. But that aside, it was really cool to go back and watch it. And I really liked it. Like, you know, sometimes you're nervous to see yourself younger because you feel like you grow as an actor and you get better and better and better.
Totally.
So I was like, am I going to suck? But the whole thing, I was like, this is good. This is like better than I even remember when I was doing it in the moment.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I mean, I've been watching a lot of these episodes, obviously from this first season, and it's been long enough that I don't remember what's going to happen next, but I was so excited watching this episode because first of all, it's just such an exciting episode. Yeah. And it's such a really pivotal one for Bo because you come along and just really like rock her world. So I felt the same way. And it was such an education for Bo. You know, but I got to tell you, Inga, you owned this episode. I mean, I love your entrance, which is like basically down this like love tunnel right in that nightclub, which is the perfect entrance. I know. And you really like, it was a real, I remember just the feeling of like, keep trying to keep up with you. For real. And that would made it so perfect for Bo, right?
Yeah,
to just be like, she's this worldly, knows more succubus, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it really was that genuine feeling of just trying to keep up. So,
That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah. I had such a great time on the show and everything. And I actually didn't really know what I was stepping into at the time. They hadn't told me at that time when I booked it that I was your mom.
I was going to ask you about that.
So I actually didn't know where this character was going. They just said very sexy, sensual. She's very sure of herself. And I think, I can't remember who gave me the little whisper halfway through the episode of what was actually going on. I was like, no way. Like, this is a whole other deal, which is really cool to know that. And the other thing when I watched it, that I totally forgot about is I was pregnant at the time of shooting that episode.
I love that. So I did not know that. Yeah. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's really special.
So I was like nauseous. I know this is taking away from the sexy allure for the but I was like, oh no. Like I felt it was my first trimester. It was too early to tell anybody. So it was not like I wasn't feeling 100%, but
right.
But anyways, it was cool because obviously my daughter now, she's 11, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing myself when I was pregnant with her. And it just was a really cool memory. I totally forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Well, you didn't look nauseous. I'll tell you that. But no, that's a special memory for sure. And that's the kind of stuff that we can talk about on this podcast, because that's the stuff that fans want to know is any kind of behind the scenes stuff. And, that's a very special one, obviously, for you. Yeah. One thing I was going to mention. Oh, my next question actually was best memory from this episode. Do you have anything specific that you remember about filming?
Best memory. Well, Arnold Pinnock is one of my nearest and dearest friends.
Oh my God! First of all, he was so amazing and so funny.
Yeah, that's like, I think that was, we don't know sometimes who's getting what part until you get your schedule in the morning or the day before. You get something that's called your call sheet. So then I saw Arnold's name on it and I was so excited when I got there. The two of us were like, eh! Like, it was just so nice to be with someone who is a good friend. And again, made me laugh the whole time. Oh, and
I remember actually having trouble doing some of the stuff with him because in real life, I mean, on screen, he was like such a vile character, but in real life, he's so lovely and also just so funny. His like just that sharp wit. And I remember like in the dating speed dating scene, like when Saskia and Beau go, I just remember having a really hard time holding it together because he was so funny. It was so unexpected, you know?
Totally. Yeah. That's Arnold. He's such a crazy talent. Like he's amazing. So that was definitely a highlight. Yeah. I don't know. I guess my highlight was how kind everyone was. You never know what you're stepping into. And you guys were making this very new big show with a lot going on and a whole other, you know, this two world human and fey world thing. And I'm like, I wonder how stressed out everyone's going to be by the time I get there. It's episode 10. So sometimes you can come at the end and people are like overworked. They're tired. You're just some guest. But everyone was so warm and lovely and welcoming, like right to the producers and Michelle and Vanessa Piazza. Like she gave me a ride home in her fancy sports car. And I was like, these people are so kind. Like it was so,
I'm glad.
It was just a nice experience.
Yeah. And that makes me so happy to hear. And I think, you know, we knew on the show, we knew that we were doing something kind of special that had a little bit of magic in it. And we just enjoyed it. So even by the end, we were still going. And the characters that came on, like every guest star and then you coming in, I mean, it was so rich. It was such rich storytelling. I mean, look at this episode. First of all, the crime of the week element of it is so grisly, right? Yes. I mean, like women being shamed into killing themselves. I mean, like it's brutal, right? And the visuals of that are so dark. Yeah, totally. Like it was based in something real, you know, and certainly didn't pull any punches. And I mean, that's what made Saskia's entrance into this episode so powerful too, because she's ruthless. And Beau, I love how Beau and Saskia each have such a strong sense of justice, but it's totally different, you know?
Yeah. Which it makes sense when people find out that their mother and daughter, there's like a similarity in that in itself.
100%.
Like the passion for what they believe in. They're so like solid in that.
Yeah. But their lived experience has been so different up until that point that she is ruthless. And I mean, I love that. I love that so much. But yeah, it was dark. It was dark.
Because
I, you know, I had written here like that Saskia is the ultimate mean girl when it comes to like her, that whole intro in the bar and Kenzie getting jealous and all that stuff. But it goes way deeper than just being the mean girl, you know?
Well, that's the coolest part of it. Watching that first episode, thinking maybe this is a one-off or like this is where that character will stay.
Yeah.
And knowing like where we ended up going and where, what they revealed about her and her mental health, like all of that. It's so cool. It was so well written and thought out. And it's fascinating to play something like that. Like you don't get an opportunity often to play a recurring that has that cool of an arc.
Yeah. And that much nuance in it too, because like usually like you said, the character description, every character description, but for every woman is she's beautiful. She's tough. She's sexy. She's, you know,
charismatic.
She's charismatic. Yeah, like, she is sure of herself, you know?
Yeah.
She's a genius or whatever, like everything that is like, you're like, okay, all right, let's be all those things. But this show kind of let you be all those things because it inspired performances that led to subtleties in those choices. And, you know, it's, yes, you're kick ass. Yes. All those things are true, but it was not one dimensional.
No, she ends up being
from the moment.
Broken.
Yes. So broken.
Yeah.
So
like
broken.
The most strong, exactly like confident, badass. And the fact that she's like desperately broken later on that we find out is just like,
That's very cool.
Gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, I know. Okay, so let me see what my next question for you, Inga.
Okay.
Was, you know, one other thing that I loved about about Saskia meeting Beau, I want to say too, is that you learned so much about the Fae world through a lot of Saskia's dialogue of, you know, her being so surprised that Beau, like, you work. I love that.
Yeah, me too. You know? I forgot all about that stuff. That was
I know,
so great.
Me too. Because it's like, it just gives Beau and the audience such a sense of like what a succubus can do and how they can sort of use their charms and all of those kinds of things. And I love the line of Faedar isn't really a succubus gift. Like that's just like all these little tiny things that, that Beau gets to learn. So I really like those things too. Most difficult or challenging part of filming this episode. Do you have anything that came to mind?
The most difficult, I don't know, maybe the stuff with Lee Rumor. You know, Lee, he's a friend of mine too. The guy we had in the alleyway.
Yes.
Because again, he's a friend of mine.
Right.
We play like he played hockey with my like then husband and stuff, like kissing him and doing all that sexy stuff with Lee was a bit hard for me because he had like, we had a very brother sister thing. Like he comes over to watch the Leaf games at my house and stuff.
Right. Right.
So that was kind of funny because like, I'm not really like that Saskia person. Like I'm much more. No, I know. I'm not a sex vixen. You know, I know people think that. I know. But like, I guess that was a little tricky. And also because I was learning, we talked about it during the filming, like the way that, I don't know what you guys called it, like sucking the chi or something from them.
Yeah. I mean, I always called it the succubus kiss, but that's what you're doing is you're,
And mine was like, I was talking to them and I was like, I want hers. I think hers should be a little more aggressive. And yours was like sexy and lovely. And then mine was kind of like harsh.
I loved that.
Yeah. And that was like a choice that they didn't, it didn't happen. Like we didn't pre-discuss it. It kind of happened. And then after we were like, they're like, oh yeah, this is kind of a good thing for Saskia to do it differently.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we were just figuring out the blocking with that alleyway and doing that. So I just remember that having a lot of stuff going on and I was very extra nauseous that day. And I remember that day being a little more like, okay, Inga, just like stay focused. You know, you get really dizzy and stuff too when you're in your first trimester.
Yeah.
So people are talking to you and you actually don't know like what they're saying. I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. So yeah, that was kind of tricky. Otherwise, you would have thought maybe the fight stuff with Arnold, but I thought that was so fun. That was
I remember that was really fun.
There was like a cable thing and...
I mean, sequence of like, I wrote down your lines where you're like, bad news, Bert, because I'm pretty fucking shameless. And then you throw him. I literally, when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh my God. Because it was just cool. I mean, it was so badass. So cool.
Yeah.
That sequence was like, I remember I remember that one being hard to film for me because as it should have been really, because it was hard for Beau, like, you know, they decide to unite, go after this guy. Saskia's sense of justice is different than Beau's. Mm-hmm. Beau is also, he's put her under this little spell in the beginning. So she's got all these feelings of shame, which really plugs into Beau's past, right? Because that's all she was a bundle of shame by the time she comes to this Fae world.
And you had a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I loved that whole, there was so much that happened in that scene beyond just us tying him up and you killing him. And, you know, like that was, and I love how I loved that lingering shame for Beau into the rest of the episode. And I love at the end, her hugging Kenzie because she feels safe and at home again. And then her looking and seeing your coat, right? Like it's just so, there was more to come.
For sure.
And more to discover.
That scene, you're right. Like, and I think back on it, there was so much revealed and not so much said, but so much revealed. Like even I remember trying to play Saskia like a little hurt when Beau didn't want to, but just play it off like that thing people do, you know, they're just like, whatever, like, you know, and it was like a first moment. They had told me at that point who I was. And I remember trying to play that dark, like she had a moment of feeling like let down and crushed, but trying to play it off like it was no big deal. And Yeah, that it was really fun. And then there was all the action stuff we had to think about on top of that and the acting. Yes. And yeah, there was a lot revealed.
And there was also a little tiny piece of desperation in Saskia during that whole thing too, of desperation of like also wrestling with her, who she was,
right?
You know, like I've always said for Bo that, you know, her whole arc for the whole series was her greatest source of shame became her greatest strength, you know, like that was kind of, and that's just the beginning of where Bo was learning about her powers in season one. She was learning how to control them. And then you come along, she's never met another succubus, and you give her stuff to look at that she's never considered, you know, but what I loved, you had such power and sadness and desperation. And there was so much in there, Inga. I mean, we're so lucky to have you. And I knew who you were before you were cast, only because just from like audition rooms, like seeing you, being terrified of you, et cetera, all the things that actors do. And then when I found out you were coming on the show, I was like, wow, you know, and Chris knew you. And I was like, you know, what is she like? And he said, of course, said great things about you. And we were so lucky to do that for the whole series, you know?
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It was cool. I want to tell you another little tidbit that the fans will like that you might not know.
Okay.
Is that I auditioned for Bo.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I auditioned for Bo, and it was like, they were talking to me about it and stuff a little bit, but yeah, isn't that funny?
That is crazy. I mean, look, I'm sure, I mean, that I came into it way late. That's the only thing I know about my audition is I came in super late.
Yeah. Like after they had been seeing people for a while.
Top of mind. Yeah. That is so funny.
I know.
That is so funny. That is
a fun fact.
That's a cool little fact. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I remember talking to
John Fawcett about it. Yeah. 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 He was like telling me all about the series he was going to do. Cause I was working on another show with him at the time. Anyways, Cool.
It's so funny about John Fawcett when we were working on season one of Lost Girl. I remember him saying like, yeah, I'm developing this other show. It's about clones. And I was like, cool.
Went on to be
Orphan Black. Yes, I know. Yeah. He's an incredible artist.
I love John so much. And I know that I wouldn't have been on this show if it wasn't for him and Orphan Black. Like he's definitely one of those people that had championed me throughout my career in Toronto. And, and yeah, you never forget those people. The gratitude I have for him is a lot. So
yeah,
that's cool.
That's very cool. Okay. What do you think worked really well in this episode and maybe what didn't?
Good question. I think all the club stuff really worked. I loved how they shot it. I loved the way they folded it into meeting this like succubus who looks at this literally like a hunting ground, the same way an animal would look at a forest.
Yep.
And I thought that was really cool. This is all stuff I'd forgotten until I rewatched it. And I was like, the concept of this and like the cleverness to how they made this series and folded it into the real world. I love that kind of stuff. Like that's, I think fans dig that kind of stuff too. Like they're just like, this is really cool. So I thought that whole, that really, really worked for me watching it, trying to think of myself, not someone in it, just someone from the outside watching it. I thought that was really badass. What didn't work? Gosh, I never really think of those kind of things. I don't know what didn't work.
I mean, I felt the episode was so strong. The only thing I put in the what didn't work was my braid. Yeah. Like my hair. It's so,
we'll go but with like that.
In watching it, you know, I just remember being very concerned about my braid in that episode. Like I'd be like, okay, let me put it over this shoulder. Yeah. That's better.
No, shorter, wait, right?
There.
It was like up to here, right?
Here. Yeah. Like it just didn't feel like bow. Like it just didn't feel right. Whatever. Right. It's minor. It's minor. But I remember like my first impression watching, I was like, oh yeah, that braid. I'm not so sure about that. what worked in here. I think I pretty much touched on a lot of the stuff that I thought was so good. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole threesome and all of that stuff, your badass dialogue. I just thought it was so interesting to look back and, you know, because I've watched some of the earlier episodes from this season, which was our first season. And it's so hard for me to watch because I was dying on the inside of nerves, you know, which in some ways had its own charms when I look back, but I just really felt so out of my element. And I feel like by this time in the season, even though we did shoot season one completely out of order, I don't remember when we shot episode 10, but I do remember it wasn't like the second one we shot, like it was later. Yeah. I did have a better sense and rhythm and better sense of trust, I think, in just who everybody was, what we were doing. You know, so by the time someone like you comes onto set, I was able to just really enjoy it more. And, so watching the episode, there was a lot on my shoulders. I think I was a little bit blissfully unaware of that, which is good. You kind of have to be, cause it's certainly a machine that starts and you're just trying to you go through a phase where you're like, I'm on set, I'm leading the show, to, okay, I'm a professional line learner sayer, because that's how it feels. Like you're just like, blah, 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 you know, it's, and then you go, wait, I'm an actor. Like I gotta, you know, there's gotta be a story here. It's not just about spitting out these words and then running to the next set. So there was such a learning curve for me, cause I'd never played a lead before of that level and of that sort of demanding level. And, It by the time you were on set, I had a little bit more faith. So
yeah, it definitely didn't show by the time I got there. It felt already like everybody had found their rhythm.
Yeah.
And but I know, like, I've been on shows first season to whenever they're done. First season's always, you know, a really interesting season. It's the most exciting. It's the scariest. It's the one people are trying to figure out who they are and who their character is. The whole production is, and set that, you know, for the future.
Yeah.
Seeing people's strengths, playing to that, weaknesses, like fixing that.
And like, writing to that. Like, you could start to feel that people were writing more to my strengths. I could start to feel that. The other thing with season one is that we really had a formula of case of the week, you know, like we had the, you know, procedural element of the show, which I love procedurals personally. Like I know a lot of people don't, but I do, I love them. Because they really built a story around those procedurals. Obviously, like, look at that episode. It wasn't just about this, you know, Faye who makes people feel shame. It had more meaning, and it had meaning for Beau and for Saskia and for everybody. So
it anchored the episode.
It did, but like, we very much were in the case of the week, and then it shifted into later seasons to be more serialized, and had bigger fights to fight, as we know,
because
towards
you
the
guys
end.
Also, but that's like you guys showing them what was interesting was the relationships you guys all started to have together with each other, and the audience was probably lapping that up. And so they're like, this is what I think, you know, it's kudos for them to not be hard, steadfast as like, this is the formula we started with, and this is what we're going to do. And that's always driven me crazy when shows, and I'm on shows for multiple seasons. I'm like, you have to bend and move and flow to like what's happening. And they did. And that's why I think it was so beloved for so long.
Yeah.
We lose people.
We didn't lose people. In fact, honestly, we've gained people. I don't know how many conventions you've done, Inga, for Lost Girl. I know that I think I was at that one with you. I don't remember
in London.
Atlanta?
I did one.
Oh, no. In London.
I don't think we've ever done
one. No, I wasn't. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, I'm sure you got a sense of the love of fans at that convention. Because I started doing conventions a bit later than the rest of the cast. I don't know why I did, but I started a little bit later. But to this day, if I go to a convention, I meet people who are like, you know, 20, and they're like, I just started watching this show. This show matters to me. This, you know, the relationship between Beau and Lauren I see myself up there. It's just matters to people.
It's ahead of its time. That was the other thing that stood out to me that I wanted to mention, watching this episode 10 again, 11 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And how ahead of its time it was, what it was bringing to the screen, and 100%. Bo having, like, you know, a relationship with a man and a woman. And it just was so, it wasn't like, ooh, this is what's happening. It was just like what it was, life. And yeah, that kind of unspoken, this is life thing is what made, I think, people connect and feel seen. And that was really impressive to me.
Yeah,
way back
me
when
too.
It was groundbreaking.
Yeah, it was. And I feel like, you know, other shows that started to do more of that, sometimes it would get into a bit of like, look at what we're doing, you know,
yes,
like this is the, but it was never like that with, you know, there was the, in terms of the love triangle, there was Bo and Dyson and Bo and Lauren, but it was never like, mm-hmm, okay, now it's the Bo and Lauren part. Like, everybody, let's yep, freak out
they
about
wrote
this
it,
part. Yeah.
Yep, the same as the hetero relationship, that they wrote yeah, that relationship the same. And it was, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like an unspoken, you didn't have to hit it over the head and weren't like, well, look, we're trying to make a statement. And that's what felt so lovely rewatching it. And to the point where I was like, ooh, I'm going to tell my son's friends about this show. Like, that's
yeah,
perfect now. They're older teens. And I was like, they're going to love this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Right. It does have a bit of a timeless feel to it too. You know, one thing that dates it, not dates it, I guess it does date it, that I thought was so funny, when Bo and Kenzie come through that, I'm going to call it the love tunnel in the nightclub that you then come out of. When the photographer comes up and then Bo says something like, you get a picture of yourself having fun while you're still having it. Wow. How cool.
I mean, love
that's literally all we
that's
do
life
now.
I know. It's but like, again, they were like ahead of the time. Like they were
totally
like talking about that. I was like, that is so funny.
I know.
It's hilarious. You brought that up. I thought the
like
same thing.
Like that's all that Instagram is. It's like, well, look how much fun we're having. Let's take a picture of it and put it on Instagram. And then, it's so weird, right?
Yeah. It's so weird.
And the whole, and Kenzie makes some kind of comment about chasing fame, which is so like, my kids now, I have two boys, as you know, and they're 6 and 9, and they're really starting to talk about like wanting to be famous. And their connection to that is the idea of going on YouTube, you know, like that's what, and of course I'm like, oh geez, you know, like, I don't know about this, but then I think like, you know, I wanted to be famous when I was a kid. I wanted to be a movie star. I mean, that's the same thing.
It's the same feeling for sure. We just have to be careful because the playground out there now for them to be famous in is not as safe because it reaches to so many.
There's so much happening.
We just have to like every moment, you know, we have to kind of see what they're doing and what they're into.
I know.
Making sure it's all safe because it's not regulated enough, but
I know.
Yeah. Definitely different than what we had.
I have one final question here. Any behind the scenes memories or secrets from filming this episode that fans might like to hear? I mean, I think you've shared that.
I think you've shared that. I was pregnant the whole time.
I know.
And
I know. But that's
Yeah, I was pregnant for that and then pregnant still for the other episodes.
Yes.
And then when I came back for the last ones, I think I'd had the baby already. Yeah, yeah, I did. Because it was like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I don't, behind the scenes, I was friends already with Chris Holden Reed, like I said, and Arnold
yeah.
and Lee. Like these were all my homies that I already knew.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah. Vanessa would drive me home in her cool sports car, the producer. Yeah, that's a behind the scenes thing.
Yeah,
it's not this episode, but there was like a later episode where I was still pregnant and I think I was like seducing Dyson and I was like supposed to hop up on a desk and like hike up my skirt.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I was so pregnant and like feeling so like self-conscious of like my body and all this
right,
stuff that
right.
they had to build like a special skirt that didn't actually hike. Cause I was like, no, I don't want to show my legs. I don't want to, like, I'm swollen. This is awful. And so they like built me this, that was like an accordion material in the back that would kind of like open up so I could like jump on the desk and then like close as I stood. And I remember feeling so grateful that they did that just for like a recurring guest. It wasn't like I was some reg on it. Like I thought that was so cool. And
I mean, they took care of you, which is so nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cause that does not always happen at all.
No, not at all.
You're kind of made to feel like a bit of a nuisance if you're asking for certain things or needing certain things. But I mean, I always felt so taken care of. I'm so glad to hear that you were as well. Behind the scenes in terms of filming, a couple of things I was going to tell the fans, because I feel like fans like to know certain things. Lee, the actor, when we were filming with him in the nightclub and dancing, first of all, whenever I have to, it says like Beau starts dancing or any, I just can't stand it. I feel like such a dork, but doing my sexy dancing, all that sequence was actually on location in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember where, somewhere downtown Toronto. And then when we throw him out into the alley, that was all in studio. So that was two totally different days. And I just think that's always kind of cool for people to hear. And the other behind the scenes, the opening sequence of, I love, Bo and Kenzie polishing their weapons and drinking wine and throwing the knives. And what was so funny about filming that, of course, is that we're not hitting that mannequin. Like, I mean, it's just not happening. So like crew has to clear because we're really throwing the knives. So we don't kill them. And Ksenia and I are whipping the knives as we're trying to look cool and have this conversation. But what's really happening is they're going like clang, clang, ding, ding, dong, dong. You know, like they're just like, it's not cool. And
they're
it's noisy.
They're catching them in blankets and stuff.
In blankets, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's just really funny to film those things because from one side, it looks so cool. And we're trying not to laugh because we're not hitting those. So a knife throwing expert came in to film all the stuff where those blades landed. I developed many skills over filming, but not that skill. Inga, it's so lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too,
It
Anna.
Was honestly to have you on a show that I was on was a total dream for me. And to play your daughter, I mean, that's the greatest compliment of my life. I mean, it really was. And you were such a fan favorite and you brought so much to the show. And I'm super grateful to you for that. And
thank you
to you for being on this podcast with me. Cause this is such
so
a beautiful
cool.
thing to do for the fans. And thank you.
Yeah. Well, Lost Girl is definitely a highlight for me. So thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk soon. Okay. Thank you everybody for listening today. What a treat to have Inga here with us, and we'll see you on the next one. Hello everybody. Welcome to today's Spotlight. Before an actor sets foot on set for day one of filming, there are wardrobe fittings, hair makeup tests, camera tests, and script read-throughs. Having been cast in an action-packed show, I also found myself standing in a very unique gym space filled with lots of padding, wires hanging from the ceiling, and pretend weapons in every corner. Standing opposite me on a warm-up mat was today's Spotlight. One of the fittest women I have ever seen. She had been introduced to me as the best in the business. She was certainly this. And so much more. Please
welcome the unstoppable Jen Vey.
Yay! Hello, everybody.
Hello.
That's a phenomenal welcome. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, you're a phenomenal lady. So
thank you.
It's so exciting to have you here, Jen. And yes, everyone watching, because I know some of you are just listening, but if you are watching on the YouTube channel, you can see that Jen has very blonde hair and I have very dark hair. But yes, Jen was my stunt double on Lost Girl. And a phenomenal stunt double. But I don't know if you remember, Jen, that day that I'm describing on the warm-up mat, that first day, I remember so clearly standing opposite you. It's the first time I'd met you. And we were doing stretches. And I remember stretching my neck. And you were like, you can go a little further. And I was like, no, I can't. And that was Jen's like first like assessment of like, oh, okay, all right.
Yep. She's okay, all right.
Bend like that. But and that kind of leads me to my first question, because you know, being a stunt performer is so much more than just doing action. You know, so I'm wondering if you can explain to the fans listening what it actually means to double an actress on set.
Sure. Well, it's a long process to arrive in that position.
Yes.
So like an actress who lands an awesome job of Beau in Lost Girl, there's a lot of prep work behind the scenes to land in that type of role. So same with me, but every stunt person seems to have their own entry into the film industry. And for me, I was an athlete my whole life. Didn't really attend many parties or my high school prom or any of those things growing up, because I was a diver and training a couple times a day, and found myself near the end of my diving career on the Canadian national team. So that was my background. And when it came time to hang up my swimsuit, I remember my father saying, well, you know, what are you going to do now? Like, you have to find something to fill your time. And I'd shared that I'd started to do a few commercials and was doing some print advertising as a diver, and that it was leading me into this film industry. And he said, well, you know, how often are you going to be able to dive on camera? Like, during the Olympics for ad campaigns, great. But after that, and then a year or two later, I managed to kind of prove my dad wrong. Well, dad, you know, this is what I'm doing, working every day on film sets, doing stunts. And so I just made connections with the right people in our union. And it's all about networking, but also like having something, a skill set or a niche skill set to bring to kind of fill a need. And at the time, there didn't seem to be many girls who were capable of doing like aerial acrobatics and wire work and high falls. Mm-hmm. And being a diver, that's what naturally was more simple for me. It was like another day at the pool. So I got brought into the industry to do those sorts of things. And then it spiraled into martial arts and gun handling and all the kinds of crazy stuff I did for you the years.
I know.
And so that's kind of my background. Was everyone comes into it with some sort of athletic background and a desire to continue performing. I was doing live stunt shows at an amusement park here in Canada. And just one thing led to another. And this job with you was one of many jobs in film where I get to use the skills I worked my whole youth to develop. So that's how I got there.
And the other thing that's so interesting too about, you know, doubling an actress on a show is that, because I'm sure everyone watching and we've all seen shows where you can so clearly see when the stunt person is doing something, you know, it's so clear because they're suddenly moving so differently than the actress. And one of the things that I learned from you, Jen, and didn't really consider before this, was that you really watched me. And you really watched how I moved. And so that when it came time for you to do the stunt, it looked like me, because you were kind of, and that's the kind of nuance that a really good stunt person has to pick up on, because you could come in and do an awesome kick, but if it doesn't look like it's me, then you've kind of not done your job, you know?
Yes.
And that's what's so interesting. It's subtle. And that's what you were so skilled at.
Thank you.
Among many things, but that was something I really, really noticed, you observing me and then going in and doing it. And Jen made things look very easy, everybody, but it wasn't easy. And the other thing about, you know, what I noticed about stunt performers and you in particular is that you work so hard for the tiny moment you get on set, and they don't often give a lot of time for stunts. You know, you come in and they call action and the stunt team takes over and then that's kind of it. Like it's done. So you have to really shine when you need to shine. And that's the other thing you were so wonderful at. And I was very much in awe of watching
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, in line with what you're saying there, and that's kind of maybe one part I left out in my previous response, is that it is very much a melding of two body movements and two types of different characteristics, maybe with how you carry yourself. And I remember learning that very on in my career. I had to do a simple scene where I had to run for an actress who had very high heels on. And it was just, she had a bad ankle. It was high risk for her. So I just came out for the day to run in these like super high, awesome stiletto heels. But I remember being told I was running a little bit too much, like, you know, a sprinter or a track star, or like a, you know, like a Lyndall Hamilton in the Terminator kind of, right? And that I had to just tone it down, be less athletic. And so that's when I realized I'm not supposed to just go all out how I would normally sprint if someone like said, go. Right. I have to really truly make it look like this actress. And so with you, yes, it was like, how do you move? How do you swing your sword? Are you right-handed or left-handed? Always as a stunt performer, we also have to be mindful to not play to the camera the same way you do. I have to hide my face. And I had a nice big brown wig to help me do that. But you often had your hair tied back and that half up kind of look. So it also sometimes made it trickier, but just, you know, to be creative and aware in that regard. But then to show up on set and, like you said, be ready when they say, okay, you know, time for the stunt, let's move on. You know, you have to be like prepared, not just like with the physical skills, but for your body to all of a sudden just go. So just having,
and you don't know when, right? Like it's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for hours and hours and hours in the cold and the heat, whatever
now
it
fight.
Is. Now fight and do it like one time and do it really well. And that's what makes it, it looks easy to the untrained eye. I think that you just come in and do it and you're done. But the skill that it takes to get there is something I came to really appreciate from working with you and watching you. And Jen and I also spent a lot of time together, everyone listening, because Jen would train me on the weekends usually. We would work out together and just kind of get to know each other. And she got to know my body and what it could and couldn't do, and became very good friends. So I felt very fortunate.
It was amazing.
But I felt very taken care of on set with you. Because you really would show up for me in not just the stunt girl who's there to, you know, double me, but like a friend and an ally and just someone who really took care of my body and me.
Thank you.
And I felt very fortunate to have all those experiences with you.
Thank you. Likewise.
What are, what are some of your best memories from working on Lost Girl?
Okay. So I was thinking about this before jumping on with you today, and there's so many, and I'm like, how do I describe that? Cause I don't remember what that creature was called that we were fighting or, you know, so I'm going to try to see if the audience remembers some of these moments. And I'm not sure if they're all from season one, which we're, you know, most focused on right now. But, I think just the sheer fact that we could come out and no matter what situation, whether we're fighting some swamp monster or we're in a gladiator ring or we're sword fighting, you and I could just work together in just a really cohesive and prepared way to just knock it out of the park and just be there to support each other on days when it was a little more grueling or difficult for one of us or the other and just to like seamlessly let it happen. You know, with preparedness and everything we would do behind the scenes. So I think just like that multitude of just different environments that we would do our thing in was amazing. But most importantly, when you just mentioned, you know, about the training outside of the show, like just coming to your place and working one-on-one, I got a physical shiver. Like I got a shiver because it's like every time I still drive past where you were staying in the city, I'm just like, oh, this is where we'd run. And, you know, it was just amazing establishing that friendship with you and to have that relationship outside of the set. And then hope it's okay to mention, but like, for the audience who doesn't know this about me, I had a baby in between, I think it was maybe season two and season three, or maybe season one and two. I can't remember. It all seems to blend together because we were together for so many years. But Anna got to kind of watch me be a set mom and have my baby in the trailer that I would go back to nurse in between scenes and, yes. you know, or to have to go pump my breast milk because yes. I was going to start to bust out of the clothing and that's not yeah. going to match Bo. Like that's yeah. not, you know, we got to deal with that. And so like for Anna to watch that and then the following season for you to be in that exact same situation and the Absolutely. Whole crew to be warmed up to it because I had kind of put that under their yeah. noses. And then, you know, for you to have that support, obviously, which you would have anyways, but then to kind of go through that whole process together and to train you while you were pregnant. Yes. So that whole side of things is like so unique that I could double you as you were coming back from being pregnant. And none of us women are the most like confident about ourselves after we've had a baby, our bodies changed. Mm-hmm.
And the strength and just to go through that together too, right?
Like yes.
I remember yes. That you had had your second child. It was your second child yep. that you had then, yep. right? Yes. Yep. And you know, to be a double for everyone listening, you have to match the actress. Like you've got to be roughly the same height, obviously, and weight roughly, and the same kind of build.
body shape,
exactly. So I remember Jen, you being concerned about, and I remember like you us getting on the weight. Phone and being like, you know, you're like, okay, because you know, pressure to lose weight as a woman is high anyway, and it's particularly in our industry. But for Jen, it was like so much more because you had to come back to work and match me. But I will tell you guys, when she revealed her weight to me, it was already less than I was at the time. So I was like, okay, you can stop, Jen. Like, get off the treadmill. You're good.
Yeah.
You're already like, less
okay,
than
don't
me.
Worry.
Yeah.
That was like the best day ever. I was
yeah.
like, yes.
yeah, thank God.
Because I eat a dessert like every day. And I think maybe, you know, leading up until this conversation, I might have been, you know, depriving myself.
Depriving yourself.
And then I'm like,
well,
bring on the dessert.
You didn't have to. I know. It was a very unique bond that we had.
And to be able to advocate.
Yeah.
Like I was just going to say, to be able to advocate for you when you're like, I can do it. Or, you know, or even when you were first pregnant and there's certain things you were being asked to do, but we kind of, you know, were aware of what you're trying to protect and, just to be able to advocate for you discreetly a little or for you to, you know, be able to come to me and say like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this. And then I could say, actually, yeah, you are. You know, believe in yourself, go do it. Or, you know what, I'll take this one. Like just to kind of have that little connection
totally
inside the bigger circle of folks with all their goals and processes. And it was just awesome in that way.
So awesome. And I think, you know, I think it just, this makes me think of, you know, a lot of people think of Bo as like this kick-ass woman character and she certainly was, but like
she was
this is actually what a kick-ass woman looks like in real life is Jen Bay because, you knew how to protect yourself. You knew how to protect your body, knew how to take care of your body. And that's like we have to take care of ourselves on set because it is such a marathon and it's like, it's kind of
harsh
a
environment.
It's a hard, hard, hard environment. If you are not resting when you need to rest and if you're not fueling yourself with good food, which is hard to do when you're really tired, then you really suffer and you can't show up and be kick-ass. And that's what you always took such excellent care, as you still do, of yourself.
Thank you. It was you who got me into yoga. So you know,
Jen would always be like, I don't know about yoga. And then you tried and you're like, whoa, it's actually kind of hard.
Yeah, I love yoga.
good. I think we kind of touched on this, but what are some of the biggest challenges of being a stunt performer in general? And what were there any specific to Lost Girl?
So biggest challenges is, you know, there's a couple. Mm-hmm. They're not major. They're not, you know, career changing deal breakers. But, you know, one of the main things is just to always maintain tip-top shape because as a stunt performer, you don't really know what your next job is going to be and what you're going to be asked to do. So if I have on my resume that I can do a backflip, I still better be able to do a backflip or I've got to take that off my resume. So just being able to stay like current with what I've put myself out there to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So just keeping like an ultimate level of fitness sometimes is not easy when it's the holidays and everyone's not going to the gym. And I'm certainly not obsessive about it. I have a good enough base where I can ride out these moments, but that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest challenge is always wanting to please, to be able to give the producers, the executives, exactly what they want. And what they want from a stunt performer is to be able to showcase risk in a safe way. But unfortunately, sometimes different productions, it may not be the ideal with regard to safety. And so to have to advocate for myself to say that this may not be the safest way to do it, but we could still achieve the same vision and outcome by doing it slightly different, there's a risk because, you know, like a lot of industries, we're all fairly replaceable. And so just trying to balance pleasing production with high risk performance, the executives, with keeping myself safe and having longevity in this space, in this industry.
And I definitely witnessed some, you know, younger or like newer stunt people sometimes, I think, taking some risks here and there that I think
it's very new. It's common when you're new. You pay your dues. You show your worth.
Honestly, it's common with acting too. You take a role that maybe doesn't showcase you in the way you'd really want to be showcased, but you do it anyway because you're starting out.
You build your resume.
Want the job. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. Jen, thank you so much for joining us today. I know people are going to love that.
Why talk more?
I know. I know.
We'll have to come back and do this again.
It's going to be really cool for people to see you and hear from you.
I
feel like I'm very touched today that you're here because I think it's not that I have forgotten. It's just that seeing you and talking to you, I remember how special our bond was. And still is, and
you know, can I share something with your audience super quick?
Sure.
So Anne is here tooting my horn. So now, guys, you know, for me to share with you, I remember when I first started working with Anne, and everybody would say, like, "How's the new lead on your new show?" Everyone wants to know, like, what's the person like you're going to be working so close with over the next however many years. And I remember always saying to everyone, "She's the most grounded, down to earth actress I've ever worked with. Nice and caring and considerate and empathetic." And you're like finding a needle in a haystack. There's not many like you. So I just wanted to share that with the audience that, you know, Anna, you're
thank you so much.
Yeah, you're not like most. So anyway, well, you made it a very pleasant experience. You're welcome. Good. And that's all.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That means a lot to me. And thank you everybody for listening today to today's incredible spotlight. You don't really shine much brighter than Jen Bay. So, thank you very much. And we will see
you everybody.
Very soon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes made just for you and get early access to all of our episodes. I'm going to do this with you, Inga.
Mm-hmm.
With our glasses on, because time has passed, you and I are going to engage in a camera succubus kiss.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? I'm going to look at my camera.
We're going to the camera.
And we're going to give our best succubus kiss. For those listening, you'll have to go to the YouTube channel to see it. But, you know, you'll probably hear some breathiness. And, okay, ready? On three. Three. I can't believe I'm doing this. Three, two, one.
Did it work?
I don't know.
You're going to have to ask someone else watching.
We're going to...
We'll have to put in the VFX.
Oh my gosh.
That's about as ridiculous as it always felt filming it, frankly.
Would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.